Our reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in Hebrews 3, verse 14, and we'll read down through verse 19. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The main point of this book is stated in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. There the Bible says that the main point of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is our high priest. But there is a purpose to that point. And that purpose was and is to keep these Christians faithful to Christ, to keep them in the Lord's church, to exhort them to continue believing in Jesus and not be led into unbelief. I believe that sometimes people look at books like the book of Hebrews, and they see all these details about the old law, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, and all this history about Moses and the Israelites and Abraham and Joshua and Melchizedek, and they think it's all abstract and academic. They think that this is just an interesting mental exercise to read a book like Hebrews. But that is not at all the case. There is a reason that he talks about all this. It all ties together. Christians sometimes want a preacher to skip over these historical details or the doctrinal basis of a lesson, and they just want that preacher to get to the point. They want the sermon to make the application and tell them what to do and how to fix their problems. But Christianity does not work like this. We have to understand what we believe. And without the teaching of those basic facts, all the application in the world is just going to be empty and it's going to be temporary. So in this book, the writer explains certain facts, and then he exhorts, and then he explains more details, more history, and then he exhorts again, and you find this kind of cycle repeated throughout the book of Hebrews. So when you look at the book of Hebrews so far, what we saw in chapter 1 is that he shows that Jesus is greater than the angels. And then immediately in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he exhorts those people to listen to Jesus. Because Jesus is greater than the angels, we as Christians ought to give even more heed. We ought to be even more serious about the words of Jesus than those people were about the words of angels, and that refers, of course, to the old law. Now, in chapter 3, after he's shown in chapter 2 that Jesus, although he was greater than the angels, became a little lower than the angels so that he could be our great high priest, he shows in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, that Jesus is also greater than Moses. But then he goes back to the past, and he pulls an example from the past, especially of these Hebrew Christians. He talks about their ancestors and what they did in the wilderness wanderings. That's verses 7 through 11. And then in verses 12 and 13 of Hebrews chapter 3, he gives a warning for us and tells us not to be led into unbelief. Now then, in this section that we're looking at today, he continues to warn, and he shows the cause of people departing from God and people rebelling against God. And that cause, of course, is unbelief. So let's look at these verses that we just read. Hebrews 3, verses 14 through 19. In verse 14, he says that we are made partakers of Christ, of his glory, of his blessings, and of his body. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold, that is, if we continue in the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. Notice those words, to the end. To the end of the Christian life, to the end of our Christian walk, we have to hold our confidence and hold it, as he says, steadfast. It's interesting that the word confidence here comes from the same word in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that is translated in the King James Version, substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is the same word that is translated confidence here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. The American Standard Version translation of Hebrews 11, verse 1 is actually a more accurate translation. It says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. So he's saying to hold on to your faith. Hold on to your confidence. Hold on to your assurance. And I believe that that really ties into what he's just said. He said in verse 12 to take heed so that you don't be led into unbelief. He said in verse 13 to make sure that you exhort one another on a daily basis so that your heart doesn't become hardened. Look again at the words of Hebrews 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That doesn't sound like once saved, always saved, does it? As a matter of fact, this little word if is one of the biggest little words in the Bible. This passage says that we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, what happens if we don't? What happens if we don't hold the beginning of our confidence and we don't hold it steadfastly unto the end? Well, that means we will not be partakers of Christ. We find the same truth stated in the same little word if in many other passages. For instance, Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Well, what if they didn't continue in his word? Well, they would not truly be his disciples. That's the force. That is the importance of that little word if. It shows that the whole matter is conditional. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, after Peter said that we are to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Well, if you can't fall to begin with, if there's no danger or possibility of falling to begin with, then why would Peter say that? It's because you have to continue in the faith. So that passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, says that there is a condition to our not falling, and that is if we do these things. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, the word if shows that the whole matter of our sins being washed away, of our sins being cleansed, is conditional. So in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible shows that we have to continue just as these Israelites had to continue going toward the land of Canaan, and they had to be faithful to God. In verse 15, he says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now, you may say, well, hasn't he quoted those words already? Haven't we already read that statement in Hebrews chapter 3? Yes, we have. It's back in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. And now down here in verse 15, he writes again, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And this is not the last time that he's going to mention those words. Those words are a quotation from Psalm 95. And he's going to quote them again in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, anytime that a Bible writer repeats something like this, when he states it three times, you know that it must be important. He's quoting an Old Testament passage, not just once, not just twice, but three times. That means that what he is saying is really serious. It should really get our attention. He says today three times in this short section that we're looking at, today, now, take advantage of the opportunity to listen to God and to get your heart right today. Not tomorrow, but right now. Not 1 hour from now, not in a few minutes. You know, oftentimes when we need to do something in life, we say, well, I'll get to that in a few minutes. I'll get to it after a while. You cannot afford to do that with your soul. You cannot afford to do that with your heart. That's why God is saying three times in this section, do it now. Do it today. Make sure that you humble your heart and get your heart right and make sure that your heart is right now. Don't harden your heart. Today, make sure that your heart is right. Now, in verses 16 through 19, he goes back to these Old Testament Israelites. He uses them as an example to warn us as Christian people. In verse 16, he said that some of those Israelites who came out of Egyptian bondage didn't make it because they provoked God. He says not all of them did that, but some did. These people fell into unbelief, and he's telling us not to make the same mistake that those people made. In verse 17, he asks, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? You see, what he's doing is he's taking this example of these Old Testament Israelites, and he's applying it even further. He answers the question, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? As you go back and read the book of Numbers, you find the story of those people being unfolded. And in verse 18, to make the point even clearer, he says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, that is, rest in the land of Canaan? Who were those Israelite people that did not make it into the promised land? Well, he answers again. He says, it was those that believed not. And the bottom line, the conclusion, is in verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The reason that those Israelites did not make it in to the promised land was because of unbelief. And the same reason some children of God don't make it into the promised land of heaven is because of unbelief.